Well, to explore some of the challenges that minority patients face, we spoke with Kawana, an African-American patient. She explains how being proactive and asking a lot of questions throughout treatment might be helping her outcome.
My job as a teacher is very interesting. This year, I'm working with children ranging from grade 2nd through 5th. I have an adventure every day. I like to see them involved with other kids and connected to what we're doing in the classroom as well.
Saturday, yeah!
All right, good job, guys. All right.
It was a year ago in March that I noticed a little soreness in my neck. There was nothing else that I noticed, no symptoms at all. Then when I went in and I talked to my doctor, she asked me a couple of questions about shortness of breath, any kind of tiredness, and then they did a chest x-ray. After I went to the pulmonologist, he told me that my x-ray was not good, that it was stage 4 non-small cell lung cancer. And we were all astonished and overwhelmed. I've never been a smoker, never had any reason to even think that this would be a problem. They told me that radiation and surgery was not an option for me because it was in both lungs. The initial treatment that we decided upon was the tablet form of chemotherapy. I would go in every 2 or 3 months and have an x-ray done, and the x-rays were looking really good. It cleared up one lung completely, and the doctor was really pleased with that. So we continued with it, and we stayed on it for almost a year and had a few side effects, but pretty much it was manageable.
Minority patients with non-small cell lung cancer do have different outcomes than white patients. With African-American patients with early-stage lung cancer, there's been absolutely no improvement in outcomes over at least the last 20 years.
All right, let's get both hands up over your head like you're going to dive off a diving board straight back.
Kawana got the best care because she's not afraid to ask the important questions. She's not a passive patient. And there's a whole wealth of literature that shows, particularly for African-American patients, that activism is good, asking questions is good, and being passive actually leads to poorer outcomes. When white physicians talk to black patients, there seems to be a lack of connection.
How are you doing today?
In the latest studies, what we're finding is that the amount of time that physicians spend explaining things to African-American patients is proportionally less in terms of the total patient encounter.
I have to kind of stop because
they didn't really share information well for whatever reason.
Communication has not been an obstacle because if I have a question and I need it answered, I think I'm going to be persistent, and I think that's what everybody needs to do.
Big breaths.
Now we're finally doing studies, and so I really think we're going to examine these barriers more aggressively, more judiciously, and come up with interventions that are going to close this gap.
Before you go, are there any other questions I can answer for you?
What kind of treatments are there going to be?
If there are things with the oncologist that you don't understand, okay. I'm totally happy for you to get back to me.
We are currently doing chemotherapy in a combination with 2 other drugs. Right now, I'm feeling excellent. The ways that I found that are the best ways for me and my family to fight this illness is to stay together, to kind of stay positive, to support each other, and try to do all of those things that make us a strong family. And we believe that things are going to turn out well for us.
She very well articulates the importance of patients becoming directly involved in their care. As we've all said, the field has been changing so rapidly that there's a great deal for oncologists to keep up with. And patients can do a lot to advocate for themselves, to become very informed about clinical trials, to talk with their doctors about relevant biomarkers, and to become very informed consumers about the choices, because fortunately now there are choices. I have started a website and a nonprofit organization called GRACE, the Global Resource for Advancing Cancer Education, which is really dedicated to having qualified medical experts give information directly to patients and caregivers, although the information is really of a level that even doctors could benefit from. But it's written in a way that should be accessible for patients so that they can have a very high-level discussion with their doctors about the best ways to approach their particular cancer.
What are some specific strategies that you might recommend to your colleagues in regards to overcoming these barriers and misconceptions?
Taking the time to sit down with a patient and really to explain what their disease prognosis is, to making that information readily available. Patients are remarkably adept at surfing the internet to find access to clinical trials. And having that information, or at least guiding our patients to the right internet sites, I think can be incredibly helpful. So organizations such as JAKS with GRACE have a lot of great information. There is also a lot of noise on the internet. And I think we as physicians actually need to encourage patients to go to the right places to get information. Organizations such as ACS have an incredible amount of information and can direct patients as well.
We've had a very rich conversation today. What would be the one or two main teaching points that you'd like your colleagues to leave this program with after having watched?
I would say that the big change has been that lung cancer has evolved in the last 5 or 10 years from being more of a one-size-fits-all approach to much more individualized. But that's also predicated on issues like histology and biomarkers that depend on getting adequate tissue.
Lung cancer is a common cause of cancer morbidity in the United States. What I am most struck with in the past years is the incredible heterogeneity. Patients may have one oncogene that drives their cancer. They may have cancer that responds very well to initial systemic chemotherapy. We need to make concessions for patients and individualize treatment to really have the best outcomes.
My major teaching point would be emphasizing the strategy of making this a chronic disease. We have multiple treatment options. The FDA has 3 lines of approved therapy based upon survival and palliative benefits. And how do we as oncologists develop strategies that expose patients to multiple lines of therapy to give them the benefit of that? And I think truly that will improve outcomes in the future.
Doctors, thank you all for joining us in this really important conversation. And we'd also like to thank our viewers, and we hope today's program has helped you to better understand how to utilize emerging and individualized therapies for patients with non-small cell lung cancer. We encourage each of you to go to your computer, log on to discoverychannelcme.com, and take the post-test. It only takes a few minutes to earn free credit for this program. And if you'd like to see the program again, you can watch it online, download a podcast, or order a DVD. All the graphics and the references from this program are also available online. Finally, we'd like to thank the University of Virginia School of Medicine for accrediting the program. And we'd like to thank Eli Lilly and Company for the educational grant that made this program possible. I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Channel CME. Have a great day.